You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Talking about digital distribution now. So Flex, you've got this up on your own Bandcamp site.
Yeah.
Where people can choose their own price.
Yeah.
You've got it available on SoundCloud for people to stream.
Yep.
But then there are other sites that have it up, like DGBooth.net, Live Mixtapes, and I'm sure there's going to be some others.
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing at some point you might want it on iTunes?
It's going to be there. It'll be there eventually.
So can you give people a little bit of insight, if you're okay with it, a little bit of insight into the strategy behind this? Was it really you want to get it out to as many people as possible? Was it, you know, why even charge money on Bandcamp?
Yeah, it's just, see, the thing is, like, we put out two projects with my group, which were free. And a lot of people are like, you know, I would love to support you. I'm like, well, you know, go download it. What's the problem? But they're like, no, like, we want you to make music. We want you to continue to make music. And I'm like, okay, you know, well, here, I'll print up some physicals for you. And then I was like, okay, well, I figure we've given enough free music, and I don't want to take away, you know, the freedom of getting it for free, because when a major artist is doing it, who are we to, you know, say buy my album for $15 or $10, even though it makes more sense because we're coming out of our own pocket and making significantly less like money off it, right?
Right.
But I was like, let's just throw it out there and give people the option. If they want to support and they like what I've been doing, that's great. Like, anything helps, right? And you'd be surprised how much people have been buying, even though they've, because I made sure to tell people this is going to be free. Like, if you've seen any of my statuses, I bolded that. I was like, it's going to be free, but if you want it early or you want a digital copy or a physical, you know, hit up this email. And I instantly regretted that, because I was like, man, this email now, I'm taking care of it and I can't even keep up with this. Like, this is crazy. And, you know, even from countries that their English is bad, or like, you know, how can I get this album there, and et cetera. And people were, I said $5, and people are giving plenty more each. I don't think anybody gave me $5. I think everybody gave me something more than $5, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. And I mean, especially knowing that it's free and they're still, it's just insane.
And that's sort of what, I think Nipsey kind of made that mainstream with Crenshaw, where, you know, he offered it for free on that Piff, but then also sold it on his site and sold it on iTunes as well. Sold the No DJ version.
Yeah.
And then physical copies and, you know, tickets to a tour and all that stuff. Do you think that, like, that's the future? Do you see yourself going back to a traditional format? Do you see yourself, like, wanting or needing physical distribution where you, like, need it in stores and things like that?
See, the only thing I would say about that is it's because I like physicals. Like, I like artwork and stuff like that. Like, I guess, I don't know, that kind of, it's kind of dead, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. I would love for physicals to survive, but even me, I'm guilty of it. I buy physical copies of albums I really want to support, but I rarely take it out of the case because I have it downloaded. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yep.
But I do like having it because I like to know I supported, but I'd be less likely to buy an MP3. I like to hold what I purchased. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of like that idea. Like, I think it's cool, and it kind of pushes artists to give their fans more to be appreciative of. You know, like, right now I'm sending out songs just straight out the vault that I have that nobody really has, to everyone that supported. Like, I kept everybody's email in a database, and I'm going to be doing that, and I'm going to probably, when I put out videos, I'm probably going to let them catch it, you know, the night before or something like that. Because you got to appreciate people that are willing to come out of their pocket and really believe in what you're doing and want to support it. So.
Yep.
Totally. So yeah, it's good. It's helping artists kind of connect more with their fans and make it more personal, which in turn is just going to help artists survive without these labels and stuff like that. So there's
kind of a trend right now where we're seeing, call them gimmick album releases, surprise album releases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether, I mean, Beyonce did Beyonce, but you even got Kid Cudi dropped out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and not the that locks. He's not a, well, the locks. I mean, so. And then last year there was a bunch of gimmicks, right? You know, whether it's Jay or, you know, even Daft Punk, like, they were trying to be creative with their marketing. Kanye was purposefully trying to be somewhat mysterious about Yeezus. You had a lot of these sort of different approaches to releasing music. And, you know, Armand and I, we've been on the on record on the show a bunch of times, sort of advocating, even if not for the sort of notion of surprise releases, of at the very least, get all your ducks in a row and then figure out how you want to push it.
Exactly.
So I guess my question, both, you know, for Flex mainly, but Armand Chippin as well, even though I think you've sort of given your opinion on this, we haven't really seen this too big in a successful way from an independent artist yet.
Yeah.
It seems to be, you know, people who already have some sort of maybe current or at least previous name recognition. Do you think that something like this could work for just an independent up and coming artist? Or do you think that the old way where it's more of a, everybody, my album's coming out in 2 months. Everybody, my album's coming out in 6 weeks, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that's still the way it has to be?
You know what? Like, I know, yeah, the way you say it, I understand that, but it's kind of annoying, I guess, for some people. I kind of feel like we're still, as an indie artist, we are still kind of at that point because you kind of need a rollout to get people talking. I mean, if Beyonce or Cuddy drops an album and they put it out in an hour and they drop one tweet saying my album's out now.
Right.
You know how many times that gets put out?
Absolutely.
It's not the same. Independent artists have, they need time to build. Like I even find with my project, like the steam's picking up more now and it's been out for, you know, a few days or 4 days or whatever.
Right.
It's just, I think the rollout is key to independent artists right now. I'd love to see it get to that point, but I think that's something only these major artists can do personally. That's my personal opinion. I don't think it would work.
Armand?
I think it depends on your goal as an independent artist. If your goal is that you're indie, working your way towards, you know, at least major label attention, you know what I'm saying? And not necessarily attention from the major labels, but just that level of attention where you want to be on MTV, be like that level, then, you know, yeah, you're probably going to want to do that. If you're an independent artist who has built a fan base and you're just kind of content over here in the corner, like, hey, we're over here, you know, those people will listen to you and those people will, you know, hold you in the same regard as a Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
You know, so if you put something out, they're immediately going to get it.
Well, yeah, and Doc, let me kind of go back on that then, because I look at an artist, I kind of just lumped all indie artists together. If you look like an indie artist, you know, someone when Acid Rap came out, like Chance the Rapper or something like that, he could do something like that, but is he still considered indie? He's like, I'm talking indie. Like independent, like right. If me or Mon drop something, obviously I think a rollout's necessary, but someone like that, no, maybe that is a good way to go. Because they have a core fan base already. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, so in one sense, I don't know, I'm of two minds about this. In one sense, I think that this is, you know, up until this sort of became a thing that major label artists realized that they could do and it could actually work.
Yeah.
I think that up until that point, I feel like independent artists and major label artists were starting to become a little bit more on an equilibrium in terms of what was possible. We were all using the same technology. The same, you know, on one, you know, on the same blogs that people are promoting, like not in every way, because obviously mainstream artists will have a much easier path to getting in physical locations, to getting on the radio. But the bar was sort of, you know, what you were capable, especially if you were a consumer of music online, the line was sort of blurring between what a major label artist was capable of versus what a independent artist was capable of. I feel like in a sense, this can be a new sort of technique that really a major can pull off in a way that an independent artist can't. On the other hand, I think a way that this could evolve for independent artists is I'm not suggesting that an independent artist work with an album and then simply, oh, I'm tweeting it, putting up on my website, here it is, and that's it. But instead, this notion of I've got the, almost like how the technology industry has non-disclosure agreements where they will give previews to, like when Samsung just put out the Galaxy S5, they premiered that at a trade show, but all the people who wrote up reviews of it, it's not like they saw it that day. They had it a week in advance, but they weren't allowed to talk about it. And it was a coordinated effort where it's like, boom, all the articles came online at once. Apple does this, like all these companies do this. So it might be possible where, you know, if you can try to line up, you know, blogs that support or people who support or whatever, and you get this sort of coordinated rush of, here's my album, and then at the same time, a review comes out here, a podcast drops here. It's just like this, you create this moment of your own. I think that's a way that you could do that.
Yeah, I agree with both things you said there. I guess you're right. When I look at it like that.
Yeah, you kind of got to link up with you got to have a team. And even if that team, whether it's, you know, your friends or, you know, just a bunch of dedicated people on top of that, you have a team of dedicated outlets.
Oh, of course.
You know, like DJ Booth, I've noticed, has been a huge supporter of yours.
Oh, man, like, it's at the point now where I could just send him something and he knows I'm not sending him something that he really needs to, you know, worry about if it's any good or not. And he's honestly like that, just everyone that works at that blog, they are actually like the last of a dying breed, I think. Because, you know, those write-ups that they have with the songs and all that, we don't do that. That's them taking in the music and they actually listen to it and do their write-up. How many blogs do you know that even do that anymore?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's my main thing with blogs that drives me insane, is that I don't even think any of them listen to it anymore. I think it's, if one picks it up and they see that it's been on there, they mindlessly share it and they copy exactly what that person said. I notice it because I see the press releases the exact same. Like, they're not, obviously they're going to be the same because they're a press release, but it looks like they just saw, oh, Too Dope posted this? Okay, well, they posted it, so I'm going to post it. And you notice that with tweets, because when I get posted on something like Too Dope Boys, I'm instantly barraged with these random bots, tweeters, that tweet out anything that they put out, you know? And it's like, does anyone even listen anymore? And that's kind of, it's sad, because you want to get on those blogs, but how many people are listening?
So, and here we go, because now this is where I kind of want to talk about with blogs. Like, are they the gateway, you know, that they were? Like, what role do they serve? You know, does, more specifically and more explicitly, does a getting posted on a Too Dope Boys or a DJ Booth, does it help as much as people think it does? Does it help less? Does it help more? Like, break down the quote unquote, the blog game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When it comes to your music.
Geez, you're asking this at the right time, man. I don't know. I think at first it helps you. Like, if it's your first record or, you know, your first video, and obviously getting a post by someone, you know, of that caliber, as you would be, it's a good feeling, you know, like, because they are pretty selective. But I feel like if you get once, and if they like your stuff, they might either just post it without listening to it, and you're not really getting any feedback off it, and it's just like, oh, well, we know his name, let's just post it. And that's not what I want. I want blogs to be like, okay, maybe this isn't up to par, maybe we're gonna pass on this one. Or like, I enjoy stuff like that. That's constructive criticism, right? Which I don't even feel there is anymore. I feel like everything is, we recognize that person, let's just throw it out there. And I don't think the blogs hold as much weight as they do anymore, because I don't know. I think it's all just ad space and, you know, just trying to get looks. I think all blogs pretty much follow suit with whatever other blog is doing.
That's crazy.
It's, you see it. I mean,
go ahead.
No, I mean, like, you see a lot of these blogs doing, it'll come out that day, it's on every single one. It's not like there's no originality no more. There's no helping independent artists that maybe could use that space. Some blogs I really respected or liked a lot, I wouldn't even name any names, but now you see they used to stand for something. I used to go there for my music or, you know, to check a new artist, and now all I see is, you know, like a pop star or like a Miley Cyrus video, and it's like, Where did you go wrong? Like, what happened to your credibility? Like, you're not going to post an artist that's really making noise, but yet you have time to post, like, you know, a random fight in the street or something? Or it's just stupid. I think it's lost a lot of what it used to be.
But that's because now money's involved.
Yeah.
Well, exactly, and that's exactly, I was going to get to that as well. It's when people say that, it's why did that happen, whatnot? I'm like, exactly, it's all payola. These people are paid to post. Look at their sites. When you notice that the ad space starts getting as big as their posts, that's when you know it's a different game. You know what I mean? Half the people running them, I doubt even run them anymore. I think they get to a certain point and then they just hand everything down and they just kind of reap, you know, the benefits of having a major blog.
Yeah, because it 2 points. I'll make a point, then I ask you a question, just a very blunt question. Like, you know, I think the dope thing about the blogs back then were the personalities that drove them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, not to say that these blogs don't do this anymore, but, you know, when you had Not Right, SK would just do like 3 or 4 super long paragraphs about one song or about one project or why he did that. And it really made you say, I'm going to trust this guy's opinion and I'm going to listen to it. You know, I think one thing, the reason why I don't do blogs anymore is not because it is a part of the credibility, but a part of it is just, you know, you can go directly to the artist now. Like, you know, they were the middlemen for a lot of major artists, and now not as much as they were a few years ago. You just follow them on Twitter and follow their SoundCloud and you're good. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, just to delve a little deeper, have you submitted your music somewhere to a reputable blog, and have they responded like with a price sheet?
No, never. I could honestly say that. No, never.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I would totally lose respect. I wouldn't even allow my stuff to be posted on something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, though,
that's ridiculous.
I think that there's sort of a line of, there's been a progression of how people found out about music, right? Yeah. Whenever one of those mediums gets to a point where it's pretty clear that there's too much money involved and the credibility becomes in question, I think that the nature of media is that it then gets not exposed. It something else jumps up to take its place.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
When mixtapes got to a point where they were really still important, but then they, you know, DJs, you know, they realized, hey, this spot on my mixtape is worth money.
Yeah.
Right. So they start taking money from mixtapes. Right. And then mixtapes clearly become, oh, why is this artist on this mixtape when nobody cares about it? Track, you know, week after week after week, someone's paying somewhere, right? And then blog sort of took over because there was this sort of independent spirit at first, right? And now we're at the point where you look at blogs and, hey, look, the big article is tied in with the ad space that frames the entire blog.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think what that really means is there will simply be another thing that happens, and we might not know what it is, right? But I don't think that the answer is 100% social media, because then the problem you have there is, how do people find that person?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing, right? I think more so, like what you're saying is too, this could also help spawn blogs that maybe are a little more hands-on, and that's going to, people are going to flock to that. Like I mentioned a blog, like I don't really want to drop names or like sound like I'm supporting anyone, but just a good example was the OG Mattress. I really read what they were about. Like it's not, and they don't even really post everything I put, but they posted one of my songs, and their statement says, like, you know, we listen to everything, we take everything in with a team for at least a week, so don't expect anything like sent to us and posted. And I respect that, and I think that's kind of the way blogs need to be. And a lot of these guys that work for these blogs now that are kind of doing more stuff like that are people that work for blogs where they're not allowed to post what they want anymore. It's kind of what they're told to post. And I've talked to certain bloggers, and some of them reputable, and you know, some of them are told, this is what you have to post. Like, this is it. You have to write about this. It's the opinions. Blogs used to be more for freedom of whoever was putting out the blog, because it was random people like me and you making blogs, right?
Yeah.
And now it's just, yeah, it's just payola. It's ad space. It's, they get their rep up so high that from then on, they don't really have to support any artists anymore. It's the artists are going to come to them, or it's big artists. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard, man. It's just always something comes and something goes. It's what it seems to be the trend, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think in a way that's good though, because I think that I think it at least creates opportunities at points, because for years there were no opportunities.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe it's not perfect and it's not ideal, but the majors are always the ones chasing technology.
Oh, for sure.
Right. They were, they were chasing streaming. So now you get, you know, like, look how late to the game Beats is.
Oh,
right. Yeah. And I mean, they might do really well because of the name recognition, and that deal that AT&T is offering is ridiculous. If you're on AT&T and haven't paid for a streaming thing yet, you'd be silly to not look at it. But they're so late to the game, so like something else will come.
Yeah.
Right. So I think the you know, as long as technology keeps evolving and different platforms for people, I mean, who knows what the next thing is? It's probably using an app that none of us even have heard of or that doesn't exist yet. But at some point, you know, blogs aren't the last evolution of promotion for musicians.
No, and I think I've slowly like started to realize that.
Right.
And it kind of, it helps you just, you know, kind of ease back and be like, yeah, it's not the be all end all. And that's not even to say I don't get posted on a lot of these major blogs, which, and a lot of them, I like anyone who's posted me, I really respect their blog because I submitted just like anybody else. And that's just like, you know, I would never pay to be on something like that. That kind of stuff to me is just a joke. Anyone who does that is really only disrespecting their own work, to be honest. Because they're pretty much saying, we need money to put your work on our site. Like, you have to pay me to even put a quick little post up on the internet. Like, that's horrible, man. Like, nobody should be doing that. And people should stand up and say, no, none of us are doing that. And you know what? A lot of them probably wouldn't exist.
True. I know I've been rebutted with price sheets, and it's almost like, it's almost offensive.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, hey, your song is great. However, you know, they hit you with the high traffic, yada, yada, yada. But for X amount of dollars, you know, we can put your stuff on. And it's not even genuine and sincere. I think the one thing, you know, if you put your name behind something or your brand behind something, the sincerity is going to sell it, you know? So, you know, to me, more important than a retweet is you actually putting in your own words why somebody needs to listen to this album or watch this video.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, when people go out of their way to actually really publicly display, you know, some love for your music, that's huge. Like, everyone, that's way bigger than a blog post to me.
Yeah. So, do you have any idea what, you know, like, what is next for, like, what do you see an independent artist doing releasing an album in 2014, 2015 that is just new and original? And, you know, should it just be blogs and, you know, focusing on your fan base? Should it be, you know, linking up with a website or whatever, like, you know, what, creating an app?
Creating an app. You know, I would say that, you know, that the model, there's a couple things, and I think both of you have used parts of this model really well, right? You can call them major fans. I'm gonna call them super fans for the time being, right? This notion that there are people who really support your work, who are willing to pay not just the standard $10, but they're willing to pay more. Or they're willing to tell their friends. Like, these are the people who, when they hear a new record of yours, they're the network effect. They're the ones who are sharing it out, right? So I think that there's this notion that independent artists can take advantage of, where you give them, you sort of let them start to set the groundwork first, and you need to create a demand, right? You have to create some sort of way for people to be asking about your product before you're telling them about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, as much as possible. And yeah, you're still going to have to go and tell some people, but ideally, as much as possible, you need people asking about it, trying to get it. How do I get it? Why didn't I get it? Right. Why, someone who follows you on Twitter, hey, I just saw someone, you know, tweet about a song they heard to use the hashtag. How come I haven't heard that yet? Right. It's this notion of driving up demand by taking advantage of people who want to talk about your product, who support you, right?
Yeah.
And curating that fan base in a way so that, yeah, there's levels to this, right? Where there's tiers to it. know, and I know that people have used
There's
levels to this. And people have used that in terms of like rewarding people. Like Armand used it on Kairos, right? Where if you bought the super grand deluxe package, then you got XX and X, right? People who bought the album early enough heard a track from U2, right? Yeah. Amy Winehouse that not everybody heard, right?
Yeah.
And that's like, that's one way to reward. That's like an enticing way. But, you know, now that you're building that up, I mean, imagine if, you know, you get to say, hey, not even just here's the first single, like you can start to engage people who are your sort of super fans in a way that can help drive that demand, to help get people talking in a weird way. People who are in those comment sections, right? The idea is to create enough noise that's not coming from you, to make it so that it's like there's noise here, and I haven't even had to say a word yet to the public.
Yeah.
Right. That's one way that artists can do it. But I really think in general, the model of telling people, I got a project coming. Okay, cool. I've got a name. All right, I got a track list. All right, I got a single. The problem is there's so much music out there. There's so many other artists utilizing the exact same promotional techniques that you find, you know, you either get lost or you get in that hamster wheel of, I just got to keep spinning faster and faster and faster because they might have missed my last 10 tweets.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. That does not scale. Right? Social media, that might have worked when not everybody was on Twitter or when not everybody was on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So until the next thing comes out that people can get on before, you know, it becomes a trend, until that happens, as long as we're all still using the same marketing techniques, if everybody's going left, you need to go right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I mean, it's so hard for people though, like for most artists to kind of grasp the fact that things change, right? Like I just see some people doing certain things and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why are you wasting your time with this? And I mean, my whole rollout was like, it was successful. Like, I didn't really put downloads. It's kind of maybe going against what you just said.
Sorry. Idea. I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, it did really work for me though, because it got to the point where people were like driving me insane. Like, you know, the buzz, I actually saw it with my own eyes building.
Right.
And that's when I was just like, but I didn't have a release date. The thing. So it kept people wondering and people were like, okay, when's it coming out? And I'm like, it's just going to come out. Like, you're going to know the week before it comes out. And yeah, it actually worked, man. I had a lot of people hit me up and really anticipating it. So
no, that's smart. I mean, what I was talking about is the sort of model where an artist decides I'm going to work on a project and they start talking about it and they give out names and they talk to people about it before the album is even remotely close to being done.
Yeah.
Right. People do that all the time.
Yeah. That's the worst thing you can possibly do. Like I had three videos and the album in my hand in January, like physical copies.
Right.
So I was just sitting, you know, it's not like, I know artists do that, you know, my album's coming out and then the pushback comes and they weren't even done. Like, you're not even close to done.
I mean, Rick Ross is an example of that.
Well, that album was supposed to come out, what, like last year?
He announced it like 14 months ago.
Jeez. I didn't even know that. Like, I haven't really paying attention how long. I just knew it got pushed back. I didn't know how many.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they have like a real dramatic video for like the, what happened to the, that just reminded me of the ELE 2 video.
There you go.
Have you seen Netflix?
Is that the, the Busta?
Yeah, the Extinction yeah, Level two, Event 2.
When was that? Like months ago, wasn't it?
Duh, that was like, yeah, at least 6 months ago. Sure. We had the choir in the background and the city being swallowed by fire. And I think Khaled was in the back. Doing the out there grinding backstage bop that he was doing with Kanye and Consequence somewhere.
See, and that's the worst thing you can possibly do is just getting ahead of yourself. It's just, you just bury yourself. Not only that, I think it's also, if you do that and you still are working on the record, you feel that pressure to just put anything together. Because you're like, oh, well, now I've already talked about it and I have to get this all together, right?
Yep. Wow.
Now, granted, I don't know about the situation, but to me, you do that when you're not in a position of strength, when you don't when you don't control your destiny, when you're doing that to try to get somebody at the label or whoever else to be like, oh, hey, I read about Busta this week online. What are we doing with his project?
That's totally it. And I don't even think that ends with major artists. I think it's with indie too. They just want people to, it's almost like feeding their ego. Like, it's like, oh, people are interested, right? Okay, what if I just say that I have this coming? You know what I mean?
Right.
Good point.
I feel like everyone wants their ego stroked, and that's kind of, sometimes artists jump ahead of themselves and they say, you know, I have this coming out or this is dropping soon, and it's just to stroke their ego so they feel like people are still interested.
And as an artist, you got to get off social media. Like, if you're working on something, because you're going to be like, look at all this attention that, you know, Album X is getting.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, you know, you're going to listen to your album and listen to their album, and you're going to compare and contrast and what has he got that I don't got. And it's going to totally throw you off your game.
Getting off the internet, especially when you're working on a project, is the best thing you could possibly do. Actually, as a human, getting off the internet sometimes.
Right.
You know, it's just, I don't know. It can really throw a lot of people off, I think.
Absolutely.
So Flex, I got to ask you. So you've got videos out? I've seen two online, but you said you had three in hand. Are there three out?
Yeah, I'm dropping another one next week. And then I should be shooting one more, I guess, in the next couple weeks. And then possibly going for what we talked about earlier, which you guys love, a grant.
Yes.
For something.
Maybe a little bit more big budget, so...
So can you
break that down?
Yeah, I was going to say, for the American or non-Canadian audiences, can you explain this concept?
Yeah, it's crazy because I didn't even know you guys didn't have any form of it, which is crazy.
I just want to warn everybody in the United States who's listening to this, your mind is about to be blown.
Don't move to Canada. We're all trying to get these grants. We don't need any more people coming over here. No, it's just, it depends. You can go in for different types of grants from the government, and they'll fund a video budget up to $25,000 for a full, or, you know, down to, you can get viral grants for, you know, like $5,000 to shoot a video, which are, I think they're a little bit easier to get. You can get website grants. They'll do your website, album grants to like work on a project. I don't know how easy those are to get, but we've managed to score with my group, the Antiheroes. We scored a couple grants through, it's called Much Fact, so Much Music. And
Canada's
MTV.
Yeah, that's Canada's MTV, right?
Much Music. We have MTV too now. Like, we have MTV Canada. But yeah, Much Music. Oh, okay. It's going the same route as MTV. It's like, you know, people are like, oh, I saw you on TV. I'm like, oh, Much Music plays videos still? Like, even I'm surprised. I'm like, yeah, we but I didn't know it was, like, getting played. But, you kind of get money to just further your career with the music. And, I mean, it's pretty awesome to have a video that's high budget. Like, you've seen the ones we've done, especially that one with Rich Kid and Decisive. I think that kind of...
That was the one where y'all were like moving in different places, right?
Yeah, stop motion, yeah.
Yeah, that video is crazy.
The thing that benefits that is, even if it doesn't get the play on, like, we did get play, because obviously they'll play it because they funded it.
Right.
But it's just a good thing to have to market to, you know, US and UK, because it's a big budget video. It looks professional, and I think that's kind of the benefit more so than saying, oh, I shot a video with a ton of money. For me, it's the benefit of having something that's almost like a business card, right? Like, if I take that video as opposed to a low-budget video I could shoot by myself, you're going to notice the difference. And you're probably going to get better attention when you have a video that's looking like that.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I'm going to go in for one of those for hopefully something off Salem. And I don't know what track I want to do yet.
All I knew...
Yeah, get you down here. Yeah. That's a lot of Canadians on there too. So I don't know. Maybe we could sneak you on.
As soon as we get off this Skype call, there's a decent probability I'm going to try to figure out the warmest city in Canada. Just, you know, potential places to move to.
You know how bad our winter has been? It's insane.
I don't even want to know, because my winter in Connecticut's been awful. So I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. When everyone's like, oh, I've had a bad winter too, I'm like, nah. Like, right now we had like +6, I think, today, and it felt like
Wow.
And tomorrow, it's funny, it's like +6 now, and tomorrow we're supposed to get 15 centimeters of snow again.
Wow. It was 60 degrees here today.
Yeah, it was 60 degrees here today too, but we're getting snow on Thursday, so you know.
60 degrees, that is.
It's like 15 degrees Celsius.
Oh, yeah, you guys are... I'll move there.
Well, right. We've had a crappy winter too, but I'm sure by Canada standards,
there's nothing like Canada winter, man. Like, you actually just contemplate ever getting out of bed. It's just like, whatever. It's the worst. But we get grants.
So be cold for a while or fund all of your dreams.
Armand's about to go buy a parka. I think that's the answer to that.
Son. I mean, I've already expressed to Flex. I've been talking to Flex for years about just how my affinity for Canada, just the culture, the people.
Oh, it's amazing.
The women are crazy. Yeah, I heard the food is crazy. So I'm really trying to get up there. Like, if I can get up there this year.
Well, yeah. Not only that, is like our scene, even though Toronto is so, I guess, divided at times, like, I think we'd be a lot stronger if everyone was not to their own self. But yeah, man, like, just going out to show, there's always shows going on out here, and the hip hop scene's really good.
Well then let me ask you this, speaking of which, so I think everybody who pays attention to hip hop consistently, their first introduction to Canadian hip hop was probably Choclair, Socrates,
and Cardinal.
And right? Cardinal. And now, obviously, it's Drake. So,
who
does this?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Only one of the biggest artists in the world. So, as far as the scene, the sound, is it one of those things? Because in Ohio, we don't really have a whole lot of people trend setting as far as like this. There's definitely a scene out here.
Yeah.
But the scene just really consists of everybody sounding like everybody else. You know, the biggest artists out of Ohio are going to be Staly, Fly Union, Rashad, Kid Cudi.
Bow Wow. You know what I'm saying?
I'm talking about now.
I was sitting there the whole time just waiting to try to get that in.
No. But some of those artists, more specifically Rashad, who produced a lot of Staly's other stuff, his sound is very much original and unique. And for that, of course, he got points. And of course, Cudi is just, you know, he is essentially the godfather of 808s. Yeah. But, you know, for a large part, everybody here just kind of sounds like everybody else. But is Toronto seeing Drake's success? Does that make everybody want to like make that the emo? Well, no. I don't want to call it emo, but like Drake-esque music.
No, I feel like it might have been like that for a very short period of time. Like, that's what's good about the scene, is that there's a lot of artists in Toronto that don't do, like, they're not trying to follow the trend, and they're kind of their own artist. It's pretty diverse. Like, I don't really know too many artists. Like, there is a few that maybe try to sound like Drake, and you know, they think that's their ticket, but no, for the most part, everybody's just in their own style. Toronto does have, it has a sound, but if you were to ask someone from Toronto, you know, everyone would be like, oh, does everyone sound like Drake? No, it's just, the sound is just more, I don't even know. I don't want to classify it. Like, it's really hard to just lump it all together. It's just, it's more just organic. Like, if you come to Toronto, the music feels like Toronto. I know it sounds crazy, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it speaks for where we're at, and it's just, it's a feeling about it. And I know it sounds super corny, but I guess you have to be here to kind of judge it.
Well, let me ask you, is there a temptation to mimic that sound, right? Because there's a long and storied, you know, list of examples in hip hop of where an artist, not necessarily, I'm not saying this is in that city, but an artist really blows up, mm-hmm. and then the majors rush in and sign clones.
Yeah.
Or look for clones like that. Was there ever a temptation to be like, you know, maybe that's what I need to sound like?
Nah. It's not in me to do stuff like that, and I'm sure Armand's kind of on board with me on that. Some artists just, I can't, anytime I've ever maybe tried to force myself, which is not anytime recent, like to write a certain way or make a certain type of record, I can't. It's just like, it won't allow me to do it. You know what I mean? I just, there's something in me that artistic side is just like, no, you're not, you can't do that, you know? And it just, I can't do it. So no, I would never, I never had the idea of trying to sound like anyone out here. That's for sure.
It's funny because as a producer for me, it's actually, I enjoy trying to make records that sound like other people just to
prove
to myself that I can do it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure I could do it. It's just like, feels like a waste of my time to sit there and just make a record that sounds, you know what I mean? It'd be more of a joke to me. Just to, yeah, same way you do, just a joke, or just trying to mimic it just to say I could do it.
Like I'm on with a KFC.
Keys full of coke. Keys full of coke.
I don't know, man. It's just, I find that anyone chasing and doing something like that is, you have everybody looking at you and laughing, you know what I mean, behind your back pretty much, or just not paying attention to you, because if you think that everyone can't see that you're riding someone else, then you're pretty much blind to everything that's going on.
Yep.
So
Armand, do you have any other questions for Flex?
Nah, I think we covered a good chunk of, you know, what I felt, you know, we needed to talk about. You know, we touched on Salem and the process and the transition of hip hop and the internet, and you know, I think now is a good time to wrap up and plug and do all that good stuff. Unless you have something.
Or no, I want to make sure. So Flex, where can the good people who listen to Clock Radio Speakers, where can they find Salem?
You can find it. I say the best place. I don't know what you guys agree with. Actually, I'd like your opinion before I start plugging.
You're on DJ Booth. You know, that's a pretty big site, but of course you always want to start with, you know, your site. Yeah. So, you know, your Bandcamp, your whatever.
I'd say the Bandcamp. So it's Flex the Antihero, all one word, you know, .bandcamp.com. That's kind of the more direct. You pay what you want. You could, you know, pay nothing if you want and leave an email. So you get at live mixtapes. Yeah, DJ Booth has it as well. And actually, DJ Booth launched, I think they launched, because I got a tweet about it to me. They launched an app where you can download right to your phone now the albums, like directly off DJ Booth.
Nice.
Okay.
Dope. So I don't know if people, you know, if people are more on their phone. And I think the US, you guys have like unlimited plans and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
It depends. Some of, like, it depends what but.
I have unlimited everything.
That's insane. So yeah, so people like that, you could download it right to your phone. So it's just, I'd say Google it, but yeah, Bandcamp, if you like Bandcamp and the layout, then you can also listen to it there and, you know, decide if you want to download. Your preference, what would you tell them to?
Well, obviously we want to direct people to a place where they can give you some money, but if you're not going to do Bandcamp, then my next one would be, I'm a big fan of SoundCloud actually. Since we use it for the show, because that's still you. And what's nice about SoundCloud is people like a song, it's super easy to share it or embed it wherever. So I always like SoundCloud.
Well, yeah, they just need to make mobile downloading available. That's just bad.
See, we're right there. We're only streaming. So if they want to go, but again, if you want to go there and stream it, if you feel like, you know, it's worth downloading or throwing a couple dollars at, then yeah, then go to the Bandcamp.
Definitely support this project. I have not bought it yet, but I definitely plan on supporting it because it's a great album.
So don't worry about it.
it does not matter. Trust
me. That's value right there. So
it's great project. So yeah, definitely check it out. Anything else you got going on that you want to tell the people about?
Just watch for the videos coming, and I think I'm going to start letting loose like a few records that didn't make it. So yeah, those will be coming out. I think I'm just going to keep this moving for a bit while I'm working on some other stuff right now. I'm working on a couple other projects right now.
And you've got a YouTube, channel?
Oh yeah. Sorry. So everything pretty much is Flex the Antihero. So soundcloud.com/FlexTheAntihero, YouTube Flex the Antihero, and my Twitter @FlexTheAntihero. And you can get me there. And yeah, any inquiries or anything, same thing, flextheantihero@gmail.com if you want to hit me direct, or...
Woo, that's risky.
Yeah. Okay, well, whatever.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
Oh, yeah. If I don't like it, I'll block you. Okay, yeah, but more for bookings or stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good.
Go to my. Yeah.
We need to talk about that because you do a lot of shows. Like anytime, it's almost like you're like the monopoly, or you're like the mob boss of like Toronto hip hop. Because anytime I see, you know, whether it's Staly, Busta, Joe Budden, anybody else that you've opened up for, like they got to go through you guys.
Yeah.
Like you gotta get a slot on their bill.
Yeah. So, hey man, yeah. Like I don't know. It's just. I guess also too, like anyone who, any of the promoters who know us know we put on a good live show, and also our manager's good at, you know, putting our music in the right ears. So I got to give him a lot of respect for that. Cause I think that's where a lot of artists go wrong, is that they don't let these people hear their music. They just want on the show and expect to get on it. Cause they just, you know, hey, I want to open. That's not going to get you anywhere. You need to have the right people, you know, presenting your music in a professional way. So
right.
Yeah, and then once you're on a couple shows, your name's known and they know you can perform, and yeah, from then on it gets a lot easier. So
definitely.
But yeah,
I think that's it.
Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on, man. I know Amar and I really appreciate it.
Anytime you guys want me to come on and guest, if I'm available, I'm down. So.
Oh, that's big. That's big artist talk. If I'm available.
No.
That means you about to be out of here, and
that means like real life. I got jobs and stuff too, because so, I'm a struggling rapper.
Armand, you got anything to plug?
Yeah, this Saturday I will be at Art and Republic performing Kairos Records with a live band.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, shut up. that's this Saturday, 7:30. I don't have the address on. Well, if you go on High Street and you know where American Apparel is, it's right behind American Apparel. $10 to get in. Take a girl, or if your girl, take a guy out. You know, it's definitely gonna be like a nice little vibe. So, yeah, this Saturday, the 15th. Check that out.
Jeez, well, that's pretty dope. You one up me there.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, I might hop on these last couple dates to like a Yeezus tour or something. I'm not sure yet.
You know what's funny? I don't even know if you're joking, because you could very well like.
Yeah, right. You know, actually, sorry. Before we go, did you guys go to that?
Yeah, I did.
So did I. What'd you think?
I thought it was great.
It was insane.
It was absolutely insane. How'd you feel about Kendrick opening?
It was all right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it was maybe because I was like, I'm a Kendrick fan, obviously, but I think I was just there. I was too hyped about the Kanye show, and I wasn't really into it as I could have been. And I would have picked some different songs.
Yeah, I don't know. It strikes me as somebody who, I don't know, Armand, you saw him live before he blew up.
Yeah, I saw him right after Section 80 came out.
And he didn't perform with a live band then, right?
No, it was him and Ali.
He sounded like somebody who he's discovered, hey, I can get a live band to play my music. It's just not there yet. Like, part of it is the type of songs that he has didn't necessarily translate all that well to the band and the style that they were playing. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Mad City is just better with the beat.
Right. No, yeah. I agree. And I think that, well, we talked about this in the show, when I talked about my experience going to see the Yeezus tour, that what you see often is when an artist first gets, when they really blow up, what's always interesting is to see how their live shows then feed into the type of songs they want to make in the future.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, Kanye famously did it with Graduation, where he wanted records that you could play at a stadium. And then, you know, it'd be interesting to see if Kendrick now wants, because a lot of the problem, too, is that album is, talk about a concept album. That's a concept album. And there are records in there that aren't really designed for a live band to play. So if that's kind of the feel he's going for, it'll be interesting to see if he starts to make music that sounds a certain way live.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, it's only going to serve him well, because I think his next record's going to put him through the roof, and he'll be doing these big tours anyways, right?
So he's got so much pressure on him.
I'm just looking forward to Absol. That's all I'm saying.
But we didn't even talk about that, Doc. SZA's next.
He's my favorite on TDE, by the way. I don't care what Doc might say.
No, yeah. I think I like Ab. So I'm a Schoolboy Q fan, but I felt like the album was an album that he could have delivered 2 years ago. Like, yeah. And now, almost like in a way, I mean, look, we've always been big Crit fans, but like, you know exactly what you're getting from Big Crit right now. Yeah. He is who we thought he was, right? We know exactly who he is, and I wonder if we just know exactly who Schoolboy Q is.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not a bad thing, but I just don't, like, I don't want to use words like growth and, oh, he's maturing as an artist or anything like that, but there's no leap from Habits and Contradictions to me, really.
Yeah, I actually enjoy that project more.
I think I probably did as well. Whereas with Kendrick, man, I don't even know. That album's so great. I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know what's funny? As soon as I heard it, that the music nerd in me said that, like, okay, this is really good. What's he going to do now? Like, already, you know?
Right, right.
Because that's the way artists think. Like, it's, I don't know. Anyone who's involved that to a nerd degree with music thinks like that. So, but that's the thing now. It's like Ab Soul. The way I always gauged it with him is Control System is something that I still listen to this day more so than I even listen to Good Kid, Mad City. Like, I know Good Kid, Mad City to me is a superior record, but the staying power with me with Soul is I listen to so much of his work, and I'm kind of curious to see what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So actually go back to Yeezus real quick, because we sort of got off on a tangent. What did you think of, like, Kanye's performance itself? Like, how did you feel about the show?
Oh, I thought it was, I couldn't believe how well it was executed. I don't even think I heard even a peep of feedback on a mic. Like, it was just, I thought he killed it. He did absolutely everything, every song you wanted to hear him do live.
Right.
That he could fit in a set. And even the placement of, even when he did I Don't Like, that was, he was bouncing on top of that. It was like the glacier.
Yeah. Looking.
That was insane. It was perfect.
Yeah. I was really stunned at, and I don't know why I am, because it sold a lot of records, but, you know, to sort of, I don't want to call him casual, maybe not serious. There's actually not even, let me start back over. That album certainly got a mixed reception. Right. Yeah. And you could totally see how, even though it's called the Yeezus Tour, some people are going to go just because it says Kanye West. Yeah. It stunned me how tracks like I'm In It, like the most graphic lines in that song, and there's 18,000 people singing word for word.
Oh, yeah.
On a record like an album cut on a record like Yeezus, I was like, wow.
Yeah. And not only that, it's like a lot of those songs that are on Yeezus that he did live kind of gave me more of an appreciation, like, even though I did appreciate the album, but it just, I don't know, man, seeing it done that way was just, it just made those songs so much more in your face. Like, I loved Blood on the Leaves when I first heard it, but after seeing it live, man, like, oh.
I told Armand the same thing. He thought I was crazy.
No. That's why he's so quiet right now.
Nah, I'm just, you know, waiting on you. I mean, I'm not going to interject and say I hate the album.
It's all good.
Made the but it was point. A good show. That was probably one of the best, like, worth the money shows that I've been to in a long time.
It was,
show.
Because it wasn't cheap, but for me, it was worth it.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And anything else we want to talk about? Are we good?
I guess we're good, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by, and we'll catch y'all next week.
Hey, man. Take it easy.